Will you please turn to Colossians, the letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. To whom, that is, to the saints of the Lord, God will make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I would like to add to that by reading 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As His divine power has given to us all things which relate to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us by glory and virtue, through which He has given to us the greatest and precious promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption which is in the world through lust. And finally, the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And it answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of Jehovah unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith Jehovah of hosts. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we sang that hymn, we are deeply moved by the sense that throughout the ages and the centuries, how those who love Thee long to see Thee. O Lord, do create within us the same longing for Thyself. We do praise and thank Thee for Thy precious promise that Thou art coming. O Lord, may we be those who not only wait for Thy coming, but hasten Thy return. We offer ourselves to Thee afresh and pray that Thou will work in us until Thou art able to use us for Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness. And we give Thee all the glory. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, during the early centuries, when God's people were persecuted, when they saw each other, they greeted each other with this word, "The Lord is coming." They longed to see the Lord. And throughout the centuries and generations, we find when God's people were under persecution, that was the cry of their heart. The day is at hand. But somehow, we live so comfortably that we forget. We do not desire His return as our brothers and sisters under persecution. May the Lord deliver us. We have been considering together, brothers and sisters, on this matter of responsibility. And of course, in view of the time is at hand. Because the time is at hand, the Lord is coming. We know not when, but we sense it cannot be long. Therefore, we need to consider very seriously, together before the Lord, on this matter of responsibility. Thank God for His great love. Because of His great love towards us, He honors us with responsibility. He is the God of responsibility. What He purposes, He always fulfills. He cannot deny Himself. And brothers and sisters, He wants us to be like Him. Be responsible to all that He has committed to us. It is a great honor that God should commit to us even a little responsibility in His eternal plan. And may we be responsible. We mentioned together on this question of why responsibility. And we also mentioned about what responsibility. Are we supposed to be responsible? And finally, this morning, we would like to ask the question, how? How can we fulfill the responsibilities that God has honored us, committed to us? Now, dear brothers and sisters, you know when you are first saved, you do not ask such questions. You do not ask, how can I fulfill my responsibilities before the Lord? You even do not ask, what are the responsibilities that God has committed to me? And of course, you never ask why. Thank God you are saved by His grace. Thank God He has given you His life. Thank God you love Him so much. You are touched by His great mercies. And you just want to go ahead and do things for Him. You remember the children of Israel? When God delivered them out of Egypt, under the bondage of slavery, and brought them to Himself at Mount Sinai, God said, I have delivered you out of Egypt. I have borne you as an eagle's wing unto Myself. Now, if you will keep My words and observe My covenant, you will be My peculiar people. You will be a special position of Mine among all the nations. You will be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And God said to Moses, tell the people about this. So when Moses shared this with the children of Israel, you know what they said? Immediately they responded and said, all that God has said, we will do. There's no problem. No problem of how to do it. They are anxious, ready to plunge ahead into responsibility. But after they travel in the wilderness for about 2 years, they came to the border, the southern border of Canaan, the promised land. God said, go in. They said, we cannot. How can we go in? We are so small, tiny. In the eyes of the people in Canaan, they are giants. They look upon us as grasshoppers. They will eat us up. How can we do it? We cannot do it. Brothers and sisters, this question of how is not asked by new believers. It's asked by tired, weary believers. I remember when God first saved me. I was 15 at that time. I had sought the Lord, tried to get saved for a year, and nothing happened. But on that day, when God saved me, I was so grateful. And usually, you know, during a conference, the last day of the conference is always our consecration. And at that time, the meaning of consecration was limited to those who will offer their lives to be preachers or Bible women. That's consecration. Ordinary Christians do not need to consecrate themselves. Only those who will serve the Lord full time, they need to be consecrated. Now that's a great misunderstanding. But that's the way we felt. We understood. And on that day, I still vividly remember, the preacher was there, calling people to offer themselves for the service of God. And he even said, you can choose where you want to go to serve him. I was on fire. I say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to prove to you that I love you. I want to go to the furthest place, the most difficult place, to serve you. And the preacher said, you can come to the platform. There was a big, huge map of China hanging there. And you can come and point your finger to the place where you want to go to serve the Lord. I marched up the platform, put my finger on Mongolia. I meant business. I never asked why. I did not ask what. Of course, I never inquire about how. I will do it. I will do it according to what I think God should like me to do. And I will do it with all my strength. Very heroic. As a matter of fact, I prepare myself. That was my last year in high school. I tried to get all the literature on Mongolia. I tried to prepare myself to go there. When I graduated from high school, I didn't want to go to college. I picked a Bible school because I thought that's the way to prepare myself. I know everything. Thank God, he did not obey me. He frustrated my plan. He changed my course. He put me in an icebox, as it were. And he began to teach me. Not what I like, but what he wants. Not by my strength, but by his power. Brothers and sisters, I wonder if this is your experience. Maybe you who are just saved, you will think it's unnecessary to ask the question how. But those who have gone a few years, probably that's your question. I know God has honored me with responsibility. I know he has great expectations on me. He wants me to be like him. He wants me to serve his purpose. I have tried. And I find out I cannot. Brothers and sisters, how can we fulfill the responsibility that God has given to us? How? Does God ever ask for something from us without first providing all that can fulfill that promise? Our God is so loving, so considerate. Before he asks us for anything, whether it is our life, how do we live, or whether it is our service, what is our responsibility in the house of God? Does he ever ask for any responsibility? Or does he ever call us for something without first providing the need to accomplish it? We need to understand our God. He never asks you for anything, or he never commits anything to you without also at the same time and even beforehand make all the provisions for you to accomplish it. That's love. So, dear brothers and sisters, you find in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things which relate to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us by glory and virtue. When God called us, he called us according to his glory and to his virtue. In other words, when he saved you, when he called you, it is not according to what you need. It is not according to what you want. Now, what do we want at that time? Before we were saved, we want to have our sins forgiven. We want to be delivered from hell. That's all we want. But God does not call you according to your want. He calls you according to his glory. In other words, his salvation is according to his glory, not according to your need. Glory, that's what he is. He has to satisfy his glory. when he provides salvation to mankind. And virtue, that is his quality, his character. So that's the reason why you find when God calls us, he justifies us. And whom he justifies, he glorifies. He has predestined every one of us who has been called to be conformed to the image of his beloved Son. That is the responsibility upon us, to be like him, to live like his Son, to take upon us his qualities, his gentleness, his kindness, his purity, his righteousness, his love, to manifest his glory. That's what we are called for, according to his glory and virtue. And because of this high calling, by his divine power, he has given to us all things related to life and godliness. He not only gave us life, that we may not die, he gave us eternal life, not just an eternal life for the future, but eternal life begins with the moment you receive him as your life. Christ is your life. Everything related to life, God, by his divine power, has been provided. And not only life, but the purpose of life, godliness, to be like God. Never in the sense of being deified, but in the sense of to be like him in his quality, character. Why? Because he has shared his life with you. Brothers and sisters, has God provided for us to fulfill our calling? Yes. He has already provided. He has given you his uncreated life. He has given you his divine life. And this life is not abstract. This life has lived on this earth for 33 and a half years and has proven sufficient, more than sufficient, overcoming, more than overcoming, more than conquerors. This life is a person, living person, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, do we ever realize this? Do we have this living knowledge? Do we know when you first believe in the Lord, how much, or may I say, all that God has has deposited in you, in His Son. You have it all. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And at the same time, you find He gave us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into you. He dwells in you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter how you treat Him, He is there as the Spirit of life that is activating that life of Christ in you. Make that life living, working, growing, manifesting until you are completed in Christ Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, every provision is here within you. But why? Why is it that with all the provisions that God has provided for you in Christ Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, well able for you to fulfill all your responsibilities, both in your life and in your relationship and in your service, in your work, and yet you find yourself unable? Why? Where is the problem? The problem is we do not know ourselves. The children of Israel, at the beginning of their salvation, they were on fire for the Lord. They said, "We can do it. And we will do it." But during that shortly 2 years, it is proven they fail. Why? Because they depend on their own. Instead of depending on God, they depended on themselves. Brothers and sisters, one thing we need to understand. Even though we are saved, we have a new life, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Even though we are saved, we have received the Holy Spirit as the another Comforter dwelling in us forever, to bring us into all the riches of Christ. But brothers and sisters, we forgot that our old self, our old life, is still there. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man. Now, who is this natural man? The natural man is the fallen man. The natural man is a man who lives by his soul life, by his created life, without the knowledge and the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the natural man. The natural man is the man of the world. They do not receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they consider this as folly, foolishness. And they cannot even know the things of God, because the things of God need to be spiritually discerned. Now, brothers and sisters, if a believer who already has the uncreated life, Christ in you, already have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and yet you still live by your created life, then the Bible has a special term for you. And that term is, you are carnal. You are a carnal man. The same thing applying to the worldly people is the natural man. But when it applies to a believer, it is still the natural man, but it is called a carnal man. Because you still live by your created life, by your fallen life. You still live according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. And when you are in that stage, you are in the wilderness. You are being tested. God knows that we will never appreciate what He has done for us, what He has put in us, what potentials are there, all the power are there to fulfill your responsibility. But God knows you will not appreciate until you come to the end of yourself. You know, brothers and sisters, in our Christian experience, in the beginning of our walk with the Lord, we always say, I can do all things for God. I love Him. I'm willing to give my life for Him. No problem. I'm willing to die for Him. No problem. I remember during those early days, Even when I was in high school, I was busy serving the Lord. I have no time to find out the will of God. I'm on the run all the time, everywhere, doing anything that I think is good for God. Until I discover the flesh do not receive the things of the Spirit. I don't care about God's will. I will for Him. I do not know that all these are dross. Wood, grass, straw. One day will be burned by fire. God did not appreciate. Instead, God said, there is no good in the flesh. He that is born of the flesh is flesh. He that is born of the Spirit is spirit. The flesh will never change. The flesh will never be improved. The flesh always has its own way. Self-centered. Ambitious. Self-sufficient. Self-glorifying. God said, I have no need of it. I have already taken it to the cross. When Christ was crucified, our old man was crucified with Him. God has done with it. But I do not know. I'm trying. Not trying to sin, but trying to do what I think God wants. But when I'm doing that, I find myself under the bondage of the law of sin and of death. You remember the experience of the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 7. He has a new mind. He wants to please God. He wants to do the will of God. He tried with all his strength, and think of the strength of Paul. He failed again and again until finally he gave up. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? Dear brothers and sisters, we have to come to a point from we can to we cannot. I wonder how many have already reached that point. Oh, how blind we are. The provision is there. But we are looking everywhere for help. How can I do it? How can I fulfill my responsibility? I just cannot. In my flesh, there is no good. Dear brothers and sisters, have you come to this point yet? Concerning your Christian life? Or concerning your Christian service? Thank God. At this point, revelation came to Paul. He said, thank God through Christ Jesus. He turned his eyes upon him, away from himself. If anyone can trust himself, that's Paul. But now, he is at his end. He turned away from himself and he looked up unto Jesus. There he finds the provision. So, brothers and sisters, in our experience, we have to go through this. It's our necessary training, education. Don't be disappointed. But at the end of yourself, that's the time when you look up and see the Lord. He is there. All sufficient for your life and for your service. I remember the story of Hudson Taylor. The Chinese are always grateful for God sending that man to us. As a young man, he loved the Lord. He set his heart upon the Lord. He felt called to China. And he understood it is a life of faith. So he trained himself. He was a trainee under a medical doctor. But that medical doctor was very forgetful. Oftentimes, at the time that he should pay his employee, he forgot. And Hudson Taylor decided, I will not remind him. I will only remind God. How he was tested and proved God was faithful. He went to China. He labored there a few years already. He has his colleagues working together with him. He was the one whom God used to open up interior China. They adopted not only the custom, even the dresses of the Chinese. They suffer greatly. But he was not satisfied. He felt his life was a failure. He didn't know the riches of Christ. He prayed. He fasted. He read a scripture. Try to find a secret. How could he fulfill all that God has put upon him? One day he received a letter from his colleague who was seeking the same thing. And that colleague in the letter said, "It is not striving, it is resting." That touched the heart of Hudson Taylor. He was trying every kind of ways and means that he may be able to be sufficient. But he was not. So in his mind, he said, "Lord, you are sufficient. If only I can be connected with you, then all your riches will be mine." But how? By faith. He tried to work up faith. Faith doesn't work. Until one day. That's the end of his own life. The Lord opens his eyes. "Do not try to get into me. You're already in me. I'm already in you. I'm the vine. You are the branch. The branch does not need to struggle, strive to join to the vine. It comes out of the vine. It is part of the vine. And all the riches of the vine flows into that branches." When he saw that, he stopped trying. He entered into rest. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Even during the time of the Boxers uprising, so many of his colleagues were martyred. He was at that time weak physically. And yet, with all the burdens upon him, there was rest in him. God is able. Brothers and sisters, our experiences are all different. Do not try to imitate. But by the grace of God, when he brings you to the end of yourself, that's the time you look up, and there he is, always there, provided abundantly, more than sufficient for your need. The Apostle Paul, he learned the secret. When he was in prison in Rome, misunderstood, accused, persecuted, and yet there was joy in him. He even tried in his letter to the Philippians to comfort the believers there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What is the secret? For me to live is Christ. Brothers and sisters, Christ is in you to live. To live for you. Will you allow him to do it? Paul has the thorn upon his flesh. He looked to the Lord. How could I serve you with such a thorn? My eyesight was so bad. My body was so broken. I shook. I trembled. How could I be your messenger? God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Therefore, he said, I boast in my weakness. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Dear brothers and sisters, you can experience this. It is true. You cannot do it. But he can. You have to go through this process. I cannot. First, I can. Then I cannot. But don't stop there. And they say, and then you say, he who is in me, he can. Praise the Lord. Do you see how loving our God is? May we all rise up in the power of his strength. And be man and woman. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. And finish our course. And isn't that good? In spite of all his work in us, he said he will reward us with crown of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Dear God, our Father, dear Lord Jesus, our Savior, how good you are. Do open our inner eyes to see how much you have done for us. What provisions you have provided for us. Oh Lord, do not allow us to be so foolish as to look everywhere but not to thee. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. Enable us to finish our race and win thee as our prize. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.